League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You never know what to expect, you know. I mean, they're going to hurt you. They're going to hurt you deep. But them times when you scrape a 1-0 win away at, like, Accrington, it's the best thing you'll ever have.
it's unique. It's our club. You've got to understand Carlisle folk and how they get on. The ground has got its peculiarities and its oldie world feel, and it just feels like you're in a proper football club.
You have to be a crank, as they would describe themselves. You have to have a few screws loose. Your away fans of all football clubs are absolutely brilliant. We in the media get paid to be there and we get a car to go down in. These fans do it all out of their own pocket. They're taking time off work and they're incredible, and football clubs couldn't live without them.
Hello and welcome to Who Are You? A podcast about the football clubs of Great Britain. Every month we travel to a different football club and find out about the issues affecting them. Every club has a story to tell, from those battling for trophies to those struggling to stay afloat. Over the course of this podcast, we will attempt to discover what really matters to fans, placing their stories in a broader footballing context. We'll go to any club at any level in the men's and women's games. Before we get started, the usual reminder that for this podcast, we need all the publicity we can get our hands on. So if you think we're worth listening to, please spread the word in whatever way you can and get your football supporting friend subscribed. We'd also love iTunes users to leave a review to help us grow. Be that a one star, make it a 5-star review. For this episode, we travelled north through the Lake District to the footballing outpost of Carlisle. On FA Cup third round day, we asked fans of Carlisle United, who are you? We've all been there. One of those games that makes you question what it is you love about football. A game where the weather becomes as much of a distraction as the play on the field. And you just know, deep down, that things probably aren't going to improve. It's the FA Cup third round. It's Carlisle United 0, Sheffield Wednesday 0. And it's freezing cold. Wednesday are failing to offer any meaningful threat away from home, and Carlisle seem content to hold them to a replay. It's a game where what few chances there are squandered. However, it means the Cumbrians' cup run continues for at least another game. And for the disappointed Owls fans, it's a long drive home. Of course it is. Every drive home is a long drive home when you play away at Carlisle. The only club in the top four divisions in Cumbria, Carlisle United are miles away from any other league club. Conference side Barrow take a place in the county, but even they are an hour and a half's drive away, if you're lucky. In this footballing no man's land, it's hard for the blue and whites to gain any real notoriety. In fact, the average football fan knows roughly two things about Carlisle United. It's really, really far north, and Jimmy Glass scored that goal.
So, deep, deep, deep. I make it 60 seconds.
60 yep, I would say seconds. A minute
We've
left
got
if that
get a goal. Jimmy Glass.
Locks it long. What else to do?
Up goes the head. The ball now is out for a corner kick now to Carlisle United. Will they have time to take it? Referee looks at his watch. And up goes Jimmy Glass. Carlisle United.
Go on, Jimmy.
Jimmy Glass. Everybody, there is not one player in the Carlisle United half. The corner kick comes in. Oh, the goalkeeper's pass.
Jimmy Glass.
Jimmy Glass has scored. Jimmy Glass, the goalkeeper, has scored a goal for Carlisle United. Oh, no, we don't want it. There's a pitch invasion. The referee has been swamped.
Not even the most ardent United fan would claim they are a big club. In 1974, they began their one and only top flight season in 114 years of history, and they finished that season rock bottom. Since the late 80s, they've mostly bounced around the third and fourth tiers of English football, with one brief stop in non-league. But a real life low point that stands out in the history of the Cumbrian town in recent years is the devastation that hit in December 2015. A storm, Storm Desmond to be precise, flooded Carlisle with record levels of rainfall. Over 2,000 homes were damaged, and tragically, one person lost their life. But out of the crises, the town and its team pulled together in response. Current Carlisle captain Danny Granger tells Simon Hughes in his book, On the Brink, that the team knocked on doors and helped in emptying the sodden homes of Carlisle residents. He said, "It's a horrible way of putting it, but we were literally ripping family homes out and chucking their lives on the street. There was no other option. The supporters have followed us through hard times, so we had to give something back. It was as simple as that." In altogether more trivial matters, the water at Brunton Park had risen to the crossbar, and there was no way it was hosting a football match anytime soon. So Carlisle's home games during that time were held at Blackpool, Blackburn and Preston, all a fair old journey away, until the pitch was playable again. Even the club's training sessions took place 58 miles away in Newcastle. Remarkably, they finished 10th that season, the standout moment coming when they nearly upset Liverpool in the League Cup but lost out on penalties.
My name's James Phillips. I cover Carlisle United for BBC Radio Cumbria. I've been doing that job since, I think it was 2008-2009 season. I replaced a real legend of local radio in Derek Lacey, who sadly passed away that summer. So I stepped up. It was quite a big promotion for me at that time. A real honour to take on Carlisle United, and I've been doing it ever since. I've actually been at Radio Cumbria since 2005, just after the first set of really bad floods in Cumbria and Carlisle. I moved up just after that, and that's my job. It's great fun. Horrendous, the floods in Cumbria. They've been very unlucky with those. In particular in Carlisle, there are two rivers that converge and cause all sorts of problems when they do that. They had floods in 2005, as I mentioned, which I think was described as once every 100-year floods. They spent nearly 50 million quid, the city and the county council, on trying to put in flood defences. And then they happened again 10 years later in 2015, and it was even worse. They described those as once every 250-year floods, just because of the sheer level of rainfall. And it was thousands and thousands of people out of their homes. It happened just before Christmas as well, this latest round of floods in the city. So it had Brunton Park once again underwater. They had to share grounds with the likes of Blackpool and Preston while they're away. They did a brilliant job, because floodwater is contaminated, so you have to relay the pitch, essentially. They did a brilliant job to get in very quickly after it. So Brunton Park recovered quite well, with a lot of help from fans coming in and doing their part. And then the club itself went out and helped people on Warwick Road, which is the main road that Brunton Park's on, clear out their homes after. But there are still people, two Christmases on, still out of their homes after those latest floods in Cumbria, which were pretty horrific.
Last season, Keith Curl's Cumbrians made it to the playoffs, where they lost a thrilling encounter with Exeter City. Carlisle clawed their way back into the first leg at Brunton Park to take a 3-3 draw to Devon. And two late goals saw them claw their way back at St James's Park in the second leg after being 2-0 down. But hearts were broken again, with Jack Stacey's incredible 94th minute winner for the home side.
Into the final minute. It's Stacey! Stacey!
Ah!
Oh, he's got it!
Ah!
The six-hour drive back to Carlisle afterwards would have felt long enough without that last gasp loss, I'm sure. Carlisle is a club that struggles for glory, except for in the Football League Trophy, where they've been in the final of that one a record six times. But that's not why Carlisle fans are here. You wouldn't drive all this way to Brunton Park hoping for glory. The wait for glory would be even longer than that journey. In this campaign, Carlisle haven't recovered from playoff heartbreak and sit slap bang in the middle of League Two. With limited resources, the club have struggled to replace the goals of Charlie Wyke, who left in January last year, yet still finished as the season's top scorer, and Jabo Abire, who joined Cambridge United. Today, though, it's FA Cup third round day, and although the league campaign has underwhelmed, today's fixture with Sheffield Wednesday offers a welcome escape and dreams of Wembley. As is usual with Carlisle, fans have come from far and wide, although some from farther and wider than others.
I'm Jonas, come from Denmark. I've been vacationing in Edinburgh and then, yeah, went this an hour and a half to Carlisle to watch the Sheffield Wednesday game, FA Cup today. First of all, I was just, you know, like vacationing in Edinburgh, and I thought it could be great to watch some football, and then actually I came around that my team, Sheffield Wednesday, my favorite English team, played in Carlisle, and thought, of course, I'm going to Carlisle. In Denmark, we always, everybody in Denmark loves English football, and the third round of the FA Cup is, of course, something special, and this is really a local English football experience. And I'll say that what actually impressed me the most is the atmosphere when there's an attempt of a you know, throwing the ball long. People, it was almost like that was the biggest chances both teams got in this game today. So of course, as a Dane, it's fun to come experience this atmosphere. We don't really have that in Denmark. It's something special over here.
And of course, it's not just supporters of the away side who've had to wake up early to come to the game.
My name's Ken Hullock. I'm a Carlisle supporter who's travelled up from Bushey near Watford. Via Euston today.
Why?
Well, because it's a biggish game for us. It's the third round of the FA Cup. The FA Cup still has quite a bit of magic for quite a lot of supporters in this country still. Mm. So, yeah, and we got a chance of winning, I think. I was up at 6:15, and Bushey is on the route out of Euston up to Carlisle. I had to go into Euston, back out again. Go back through my home station. Yeah, I mean, we have quite a lot of games down south. Mm. So, you know, London and the South East, we're quite fortunate, a lot of games there. But London Brand supporters, we trek up to Accrington and places like that. So even to go to Accrington, it's a 7:30 train out of Euston for us. So, you know, we're used to travelling. We're used to travelling, basically.
The London supporters branch of Carlisle United are supping pre-match ales in the Howard's Arms pub. That's right, the London branch of the Carlisle United Supporters Club. Such commitment is to be applauded, of course, but it's not uncommon for Carlisle fans. Given their isolation up in the very northwest of England, you have to be made of stern stuff to follow this team.
You have to be a crank, as they would describe themselves. You have to have a few screws loose. It's the away fans of all football clubs are absolutely brilliant. They are, you know, when you go to one of these grounds at the far end of the country and you can hear a few hundred singing the players' names, that ripple of United that will echo around every once in a while, it's an incredible boost. And especially when you go to somewhere like a Plymouth, as you say, and it's a din of activity and atmosphere, but then Carlisle United frustrate them, start to get their crowd turning, there starts to be sort of chuntering at home park, and then you start to hear those United fans. That's really inspiring, but it's an unbelievable effort to get to some of these grounds. You know, some of them they have to do, you know, stay overnight to get to. Some of them they're leaving at 4 a.m. to get to, and then they're not getting back till virtually that time again. It's incredible the effort they go to, but yeah, you have to be bonkers to do it, and a lot of them are. What they get helped by is over the years, a lot of Cumbrians have moved to the capital and live and work around there, and they've actually got a very good and strong contingent of fans in their London branch. So when you're seeing them get, I don't know, 300 to 400 at these Southern games, it might be that 2/3 are from that London branch, and that has a big impact and is very, very helpful. But yeah, those trips, I remember one year, it was 2 or 3 years ago, it was when Coventry were playing at Northampton in League One, so they were at Six Fields. And we got down there and some guy said to us, one of the stewards, oh, this is a long trip for you lot, isn't it? And we'd actually worked out in the car on the way down that it was only the 15th longest trip of the season. And that's Carlisle from 8 miles from Scotland to Northampton. There were so many. There were 14 other clubs further away than that one in that season. And that just puts, you know, just really underlines what those Carlisle fans do to follow that team. I mean, at least we in the media get paid to be there and we get a car to go down in. These fans do it all out of their own pocket. They're taking time off work and they're incredible, and football clubs couldn't live without them.
This is a club who were backed by the hardest of souls in that Exeter semi-final. and a couple of years ago travelled all the way to Plymouth Argyle to lose 4-1 on a Tuesday night. It's not hard to imagine every single fan of the Blues having their own tale of a particularly horrendous away game, or maybe even a home one, that made them question this odd little hobby we have called football support.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Carlisle fans might be the UK's most extreme example of a fan base that puts itself through so much for something that, on paper at least, brings little reward.
I'm Will Clark. I've been supporting Carlisle about 8 or 9 years since I went to the last game of the season and we beat Millwall 2-0. I remember Graham Kavanagh and Paul Furlough scored. And then I was a season ticket holder for about 4 or 5 years. You never know what to expect, you know. I mean, they're going to hurt you. They're going to hurt you deep, but... But them times when you scrape a 1-0 win away at like Accrington, it's the best thing you'll ever have.
Simon Clarkson is the chair of the Carlisle United Supporters Group.
We've got an official supporters group, we've got an away travel group, we've got a London supporters group, we've got a disabled supporters group, etc. So we try and pull reps from those various groups to meet with officials from the club to try and work on joint initiatives, raise issues and generally try and improve the fan engagement piece. And that's starting to build a bit of traction, but there's lots of challenges along the way, particularly when we're in a very tough financial climate of being a League Two club. The result's important, but the day out, the whole thing, you know, the journey up, the expectation, catching up with folk, having a few beers before the game, it's just what you do as football fans, isn't it? The fans want to get involved, and we are starting to feel slightly more involved. There's quite a lot of backstory and history around various twists and turns, as you get with most clubs, with change of owners. And but we have got an official supporters group that do own a 25% plus share in the club, so they are involved in the bigger board decisions. But I think it's work in progress. It's improving, but we can still make lots of positive strides forward. We've got the history. We've got the history of being the smallest club that's ever played in the top flight. We were top of the table once in 74-75. It's unique. It's our club. You've got to understand Carlisle folk and how they get on. The ground has got its peculiarities and its oldie world feel, and it just feels like you're at a proper football club. Could you imagine going to Plymouth on a Tuesday night from Carlisle? Yeah. Our fans do it in huge numbers, and our fans are probably one of, if not the best, loyal and devoted groups of fans that you'll get.
In the pubs by the train station before the game, there's a great camaraderie as home and away supporters get along well, swapping stories and pre-match banter. Sheffield Wednesday are having a disappointing season in the Championship and have the night before appointed an unknown new manager in Jos Luhuke. Among their number is Donald McGrory, a Scottish Sheffield Wednesday and Borussia Mönchengladbach fan who has a soft spot for Carlisle. Naturally.
My name's Donald and I'm actually from Ayr in Scotland, and I've been a Wednesday fan since the 1991 Rumbelows Cup final when they famously beat my Manchester United 1-0 at Wembley thanks to a John Sheridan goal. Wednesday were the underdogs at the time, so I don't actually have any connection with Sheffield etc, actually family or that, and I watched the game and it just threw me the size of the crowd and they had, and being the underdogs and all the fans, I remember the fans throwing teddy bears onto the park, and I thought that was brilliant and the atmosphere was great, so I just wanted Wednesday to win the game, and since they did, I've followed them ever since. It's a mixture of, it's right slap bang and a mixture of the old and the new. You have the main stand with a paddock in front of the main stand, which is standing, which has been there the old 70s, 80s, early 90s, that hasn't really altered. Although in the main stand itself, they have added to it with hospitality suites and public bars, etc. There's an area behind the goals where the main Carlisle fan stand, which can hold maybe 4,000 or 5,000, which will be jam-packed today, I presume. There is another area behind the other goals which is not used. It's left empty all the time, but I'm hearing today that I think it is actually going to be open for the Wednesday fans. As I say, it's never used. The away fans are usually cornered in the section of what's called the family stand, which is the biggest stand at Brunton Park, which is the newest of the stands that's been built. I think it holds about 5,000 as well. Most of the Carlisle fans there and the Wednesday fans will be sectioned in the corner. But it's a good stadium. It's not one of your new style stadiums, but it's a mixture of both, of old and new.
The ground is as Donald described, old-fashioned but with some modern trappings. Wednesday fans are split between the all-seated east stand, which isn't properly in line with the pitch, and the open terrace behind the goal. While a Carlisle win wouldn't be one of the round's major shocks, the chance to have a money-spinning cup run provides players and fans with motivation to give it their all. The match begins. Not much happens. The match ends. 0-0. And we've all come all this way to watch it. Still, for the home support, it's a positive result against a side two leagues above them. United's veteran centre-back Clint Hill puts in a recognisable powerhouse performance, and it's a gutsy display all round from a well-organised home side. During the first half, a man unfurls a curl-out banner in the east stand. Not many people seem to bat an eyelid, but to be honest, this doesn't seem to be a majority opinion. Curl and the Carlisle ownership have been in something of a standoff recently, the manager wanting more money, the board not seeming to have enough to satisfy his ambitions. Carlisle are having to live within their means.
Ambition is often banded at the directors who are in there. They refer to themselves, and it's hung around their necks a little, a number of years ago, as custodians. Following Fred Story, who's very wealthy, he's got a number of businesses in the area. He does homes, he does rail, he does all sorts, really. But Stories are a big company in the north, and he was a multimillionaire owner who got them almost into the Championship in the year before I, or 2 years I think it was, before I took over commentating on Carlisle, when they lost in the playoff semi-finals in League One to Leeds. And they really felt that was their year. They had a really good team. They had some great players, the likes of Michael Bridges in that team and so many other stars. And they just lost out. Johnny Howson broke their hearts. Dougie Friedman was playing as well for that Leeds team in that playoff semi-final. And they lost out by the odd goal across the two legs, and Leeds went up and Carlisle began to slip. In fact, the season after, they only stayed in League One by winning 2-0 against a Millwall side who'd made it into the playoffs on the last day of the season. So they really slipped after Fred Story left. And I think the people in charge are all wealthy in their own right, in particular Andrew Jenkins, who's the chairman. He owns a food company in the area, which is, you know, worth a lot of money. But no, they've not got a multi-millionaire backer, and they lose money every year, basically. So in terms of what Keith Curl will get, they're going to lose money this year because they haven't had a significant cup run and they've not sold any players. They will lose money this year. They are talking with the owner of the Edinburgh Woolen Mill, who is, you know, he's Cumbria's richest man. I think he is worth more than £1 billion. He's essentially... can't quite think how they describe it. It's essentially a line of credit he's given them, a loan system where they're running up debt to him, but they're cancelling some of their other debt against it and turning it into equity. It's quite a complicated situation, but people basically assume that at some point in the near future, the Edinburgh Woolen Mill, as an investor, and Philip Day, who is, you know, the man at the top of that company, will essentially just take over Carlisle United. And at that point, it'll be interesting to see what direction the club goes in. But with the current men in charge now, there has been some unrest amongst supporters. There's been talk about, you know, supporters not being involved in any of the decisions, and a disenfranchisement for fans, which has led to, from the years when they were knocking on the door of the Championship, they've lost nearly half their gate, a little bit less than that. But they've gone from crowds averaging around 8,000 to crowds averaging a little over 4,500. So they've lost a lot of fans who've just felt that they're not included anymore at the club, and you know, it's almost not their club. Almost a generation have gone, so that they're working hard on getting younger fans in, but they may have lost that generation for good now, and it is having an impact. Unless they sell a player for good money or have a tremendous cup run like they did a couple of years ago when they got into the latter rounds and drew Liverpool and Everton in the same season, they don't have much money to throw around because they don't have any money.
With a January transfer window underway, Carlisle's location too can be a hindrance when it comes to attracting players.
Both in relation to fans and players, we can pull from the south of Scotland, from the immediate northeast, from the county of Cumbria, and even North Lancashire. We are very isolated as far as no other clubs in our immediate vicinity. That should be an advantage. But you know, if you're a London-based player, there's players that book the trend that have done that. But you can imagine it could be potentially a little bit off-putting and not as attractive, unless you're of the mind where you want to reap the benefits of living in the Lake District and the other attractions of a quieter type of life that Cumbria brings. So I think Keith Curl, the current manager, he kind of got that 12, 18 months ago, and he tries to get people to come up here, to live here, to be part of the community. You know, that's what we want. We don't want players commuting from London on a daily basis or coming up here just for 2 or 3 days. The perfect model will be players that live locally, that want to reap the benefits and that can plough a bit back into the community. But it's a challenge because you know you obviously want the best players, and you've maybe got to take the rough with the smooth as to where they want to live.
I think that there is a big issue in attracting players from the bigger clubs. If you look at some of the National League clubs and League Two clubs who are in and around London, you can get players with great frequency from the big London Premier League and Championship clubs because they're so close. They can even train with their parent club and then maybe come and train with a Leyton Orient or whoever a couple of days a week and then play for them. Whereas if you're trying to get players to come up to Carlisle, I mean, the first thing people tend to ask is Carlisle in Scotland? And Carlisle's eight miles from the border. I think they get confused with Berwick, which is actually in England but play in Scotland. So I can see where the confusion comes from. But it's so far up, and it can feel like the back end of beyond, I guess, to people who are from way down south, and it's harder. Then you look at your Man Cities, your Man Uniteds, your Newcastles in the area. They've got so many clubs in and around Manchester or the northeast who they can send their players to. So you might wind up getting third or fourth or fifth or sixth pick on the players that are available in their development squads.
Carlisle travel to Hillsborough the following week and miss out on a fourth round tie at home to Reading. Disappointing, yes, but Wednesday are in the Championship and Carlisle have the league to concentrate on now. Keith Kerr will look to make improvements with what funds he can muster and try to mastermind an assault on the playoff places. If not, Carlisle will stay in the fourth tier for a little while longer at least. At time of writing, Carlisle are 13th. 15 points from the relegation places, 6 points outside the playoffs. It's probably safe to assume that they won't trouble either end of the table, but you never know. Beauty is in the eye of unpredictability in this game. To be a Carlisle supporter, you have to literally and metaphorically put the hard yards in. You travel miles to a home game if you don't live in Carlisle, as is the case with the London Supporters Group. You travel miles to an away game if you do live in Carlisle. And should another storm anywhere near the scale of Storm Desmond fill up Brunton Park like a paddling pool, you'll have to travel miles to a home game, no matter where you live. But this support is measured with more than numbers on an odometer. Struggling to make much headway in league and cup, best players being poached and a general uneasiness with the direction of the club, standing on that freezing cold paddock in the middle of January, it all takes some doing.
I think Cumbria is the thing that makes Carlisle what they are. I think their fans, as I've already mentioned, in particular, those away fans are quite bonkers. I'm from the Midlands, although my granddad worked at Spade Adam during the war, and so my dad grew up in Cumbria, just outside of Carlisle, and we used to come up here on sort of working holidays when I was younger. So I had a bit of an idea about Cumbria, but when I actually applied for the job up here, I didn't know much about the area. But I moved up here, and Sunday football against proper hard Cumbrian folk, taught me a bit about how to be a man, because I realised from university football and football in the Midlands, I was very soft and I got kicked all over the place, and all sorts of rhyming scheme from Cockney, something that I'm sure you won't want mentioning on your podcast. But you know, I had to grow up very quickly when I moved up here in my early 20s, but I think I realized, you know, in the first few years I was up here, I thought it was a hard place to live, but then I realized that there was a great spirit of the Cumbrian people. You know, you look at the floods that have happened to them, you look at the fact that when you talk about the disparity of wealth between the north and the south, you know, Carlisle couldn't get much further north, and obviously Cumbria is, you know, the next county from Scotland. I think there's a real good spirit and camaraderie amongst people, and I think that bleeds into Carlisle United. I think they're a brave and proud people up here, and I think Carlisle United, that is the way they want their club to be. I don't think it fully is at the moment, but I think there'll be a cycle. You know, whatever change it comes next at the board top of Carlisle United, I think they'll go into another upcycle again, in particular if it's with Philip Day and Edinburgh Woolen Mill taking over with a bit of money and a bit of drive to go somewhere beyond middling in League Two. I think that Carlisle United will, you know, will go into another cycle where they're a very positive, very fun club to be around. And I think the spirit to, you know, of Cumbria and that never say die attitude, I think will be very special, and you know, people will see that again, and I expect to see United hopefully back in League One in the coming years, and you know, back on the map again.
We all try and justify it in our own way, but football support is a strange thing. On bad days it empties our wallets, saps our energies, encourages our vices, and despite our hopes, dreams and wishes, very rarely offers us great rewards. Carlisle fans are only too aware of this, but it is perhaps the support of their team more than any other in Britain that sums up the eccentric, stoic, often downright silly side of football support in Britain. If we can don a proper football man hat for just one second, football support isn't watching Super Sunday from the comfort of your living room. It's turnstiled terraces and turgid cup ties, with its old world charm and icy blasts of wind blowing over all and sundry. Brunton Park is a long way from those plush, perspex surroundings of the Etihad or the Emirates. Then again, though, it's a long way from everywhere. Thank you for listening to this instalment of Who Are You? This episode was written by David Cowlishaw and produced by myself, Ben Cartwright. If you enjoyed it, we'd really appreciate it if you could spread the word through social media, or just please, please, please leave a review on iTunes. We love seeing them. We love reading what you think about the podcast. Even if it's criticism, we want to improve. We want to know where we can get better. So just get in touch if you please. If you'd like to nominate a club you'd like to hear about, want to provide feedback on the show, or just generally stalk us, the best place to do that is on Twitter, at WhoAreYouPod. Individually, we're on Twitter, at David Cowlishaw, or you can follow me at BAJ Cartwright. All the links you'll need for that stuff is in the description for this episode. You probably didn't write it down, so just check in there. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.